Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right, including your movie.
Josh Bell hates everything.
Except me.
Hello and welcome to the Josh Bell Hates Everything podcast. I'm Josh Bell, contributing editor and film critic for Las Vegas Weekly. And joining me this week is Angela Absher, head of the 48-Hour Film Project in Las Vegas. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And the 48-Hour, it's coming up this weekend, correct?
48 kicks off on Friday at, 7 o'clock at the Las Vegas Convention Center. Program starts at 6. Anybody who wants to participate is more than welcome to come down to the kickoff at the NAB or at the Convention Center for NAB and hook up with a team. I've got 56 filmmaking crews who will be cruising all over town all this weekend and drop off Sunday night at Brendan Theaters. And we're going to screen on Wednesday and Thursday at Brendan Theater. So really excited this year. Really excited to be back at Brendan. Really excited to have 56 teams and looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's a ton. Can you just explain exactly what the 48-Hour Film Project is?
Absolutely.
People don't know?
Yeah, the 48-Hour Film Project is an international filmmaking competition, and we, I guess we're in almost 80 cities all over the world now. It started in D.C. 8 years ago or something, or 2001, 8 years ago, when creative filmmaking types who want to make movies and tell stories on film never really have the time or the money, right? I mean, it takes a long time before you're in a position to be able to really make a film. So the idea was anybody can give up 48 hours, right? And rally up your friends and family and all the talented people that you know and put them in one room and for 48 hours make it happen. So that was sort of the premise 8 years ago, and it's grown and it's all over the world now. And so what happens is I do that in Vegas is, you know, the mission is to energize local filmmaking communities. So we get out there and it's a real grassroots effort, and put everybody in one room, and what comes out is really extraordinary, really extraordinary.
Yeah,
you've participated. You're going to have to give some personal experience here.
Yes, that's true. I did I think it was 2005 and 2007 maybe. It was two times
but
with,
not
a,
consecutive,
with a year off
right,
in between, yeah.
And actually, he won. We need to say that he's being humble because he actually you were what was the
three girls, a guy, and an apocalypse that we made, and I think that was in 2005, and we won the best screenplay, and two of our actors won best actor and best actress. I think it was
So what was the premise of that movie that you created in 48 hours?
Got to
hear this.
Right, it was a post. I think because the idea of the competition is that you pick a genre out of
right.
a hat, and there's a what is it like a line and
a prop
and a certain character that you every team has to include. And that was the first year it was in Vegas that year, so we also had to include something Vegas related.
That's right.
Or
that was
like
the first year. That's right. A Vegas landmark.
Right, or right. something which we totally cheated on, I think, because ours it was a post-apocalyptic story, which we shot all in this one guy's house with no exteriors whatsoever. So I think we had one of our characters wearing
a t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly. A silly Vegas tourism
right.
t-shirt.
That's right.
That was a lot of fun that I worked on with frequent podcast guest Jason Harris, who was the director and co-writer
frequent
on that,
podcast.
And
That's
frequent
great.
Podcast guest Roger Eric Tinch of CineVegas, who was the cinematographer and editor on that film. And it was a lot of fun. And the one we did 2 years later was slightly less fun and did not turn out nearly as well. But it's always just like the experience. I think that's the thing that a lot of people participate in
I think that is the
for.
Thing. I mean, we really you really figure out who you work well together with. You figure out what your resources are. And if you go into it, you know, we always talk about just make sure that you're going into it to have a really good time. I mean, if you go into it having fun, then you're going to have a really great time. And that's what it is. And more than anything, although I will tell you that it's a lot of work for the producer because it's sort of thankless, right? I mean, it's the 48-Hour Film Project for the participants. And for me, it sort of lasts for 2 months. So,
but you get to see all these films that you, instead of just one, you've helped facilitate like 56 films.
Well, and what happens that's really cool is that for, you know, I'll be out to dinner or someplace or something, or just get a random email one day from somebody who's like, you know what, this changed my life.
Yeah.
Because I knew this is what I wanted to do, but I never had the guts, or I thought I needed to go to engineering school, or I needed to, and this is really what makes me happy, and I'm so great. So those are the kinds of things that sort of make it worthwhile for me as the producer. But it's an extraordinary experience. I've made so many friends and really think I have a really extraordinary group of filmmakers in Vegas. It's surprising, actually.
It is. It's
the amount of talent.
That there are that many people. I don't think people realize. I mean, and even as someone who pays a lot of attention to local film, you know, I review as many local features as I can. I'm always at film festivals seeing local movies, but I'm still always amazed at how many people come out.
Yeah.
And
you're like, you really don't even know. I mean, we've got a few teams who they show up. I'm like, I never see you people anywhere else. You claim to live here in Vegas and you do really great work. It's crazy. And then I never see them afterwards. I see them at the 48-Hour Film Project and that's it. So
very cool. And so again, if you want to check that out, it's April 22nd and 23rd.
At Brendan Theaters.
At Brendan Theaters. And it's open to the public if you want to
absolutely
come
buy tickets.
Check out it.
Cool. And the website is 48hourfilm, the numeral 8hourfilm.com /Las Vegas. So check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. I will be there because I'll be judging
right.
This year's selection. So that
he wasn't going to get out of it. You're either going to be in it and participate, or you're going to be part of it somehow.
No, it'll be fun. I look forward to checking that out.
People are scared of him, and I'm scared of you now because I didn't know it was the Josh Bell Hates Everything podcast. Because had I known that, I might not be here.
Josh Bell
seat.
Does not hate the 48-Hour Film Project.
Oh, good.
I love the 48-Hour Film Project. And
that's
and
on
I,
record, folks.
I liked the movie that we're going to talk about, which is opening this week, Gamora, opening over at the Brandon Theaters at the Palms as part of the CineVegas series over there. This is an Italian film that is it wasn't up for the Foreign Film Oscar this year, but I think it won a top prize at Cannes, and it's gotten a lot of critical acclaim. It is about the mafia, but it's unlike any kind of mafia movie that you would expect to see in America. It's very naturalistic. It's very – I wouldn't say it's – I don't know if low-key is the right word for it because certainly there's violence and there's shocking stuff going on. But it's not sensationalistic in any way, and it's sort of several different – a tapestry, I guess you would call it, of characters who are affected by the – organized crime in the area of Naples, primarily in Italy, where it's amazing to see how entrenched it is in that area and the way that they control every aspect of life, I think, it seems like.
It did seem that way. I mean, it was like five different stories, right? Five or six different stories of these lives of these characters who come from these seemingly different walks of life, and yet it was very gritty and very, you know, like the kid who delivers groceries, right? I mean, we're not thinking of, in our world here, we're not thinking of that kid being that guy who turns into the drug runner, right? Or the, so it was interesting to see sort of very slummy and there weren't a lot of the ultra wealthy. I mean, you didn't see the folks that were really in control. You just saw the people who, the cogs in the wheel kind of. And that was sort of an interesting angle for me, is it wasn't really about the big powerful folks. It was really sort of about the executioners of the plan.
Right.
Which made
right.
it kind of dirty.
And I think it's interesting too, is that like we're used to, I think, a certain image of Italy in the movies that we end up with in America, and we have maybe a slightly glamorized,
a little romantic
idea. Yeah, exactly, of what life is like in that country or what we see on our screens here. And this is completely different. It's very much like an American inner city, or even like it reminded me a little bit of City of God, the Brazilian film. I don't know if you've seen that.
I've seen that. It reminded me, yeah, it reminded me of City of God. And more recently, there were parts of it that reminded me of Slumdog.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Because it's taking place in sort of the way that people really live, and so to see people's homes and people's apartments and people's forms of transportation and the emotion behind all that stuff in a very non-glamorous way was it also felt like it was sort of in a like a country. It was a strange that housing project where it takes place was a fascinating little village where it felt like everything also sort of centered right there in that space.
Yeah, it is. It's very, I don't know. Yeah, it's insular almost in that way. But you see glimpses of how this affects the outside world. At one point, There's a character who's a tailor who works in the garment industry here. Is obviously it's all controlled by the mafia, and he ends up losing his position because he decides he's going to go work for a rival a gang, I guess it is, a Chinese controlled group. And after he's out and he's no longer involved, and you see him in a bar or a restaurant or something, and he sees Scarlett Johansson on television wearing a dress that he would have made or perhaps even did make. And only in small moments like that do you get the sense that, like, this has larger ramifications.
That was exactly it. It was the red carpet, and when it sort of touched our lives, and they used a personality that we're all familiar with. So
right.
It was interesting because that actually just made it real for us.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I think at the same time, though, despite the admirable nature of it being so naturalistic and so...
This is the hate part coming.
No. There's nothing hate involved, but I think it drops you right into a story without ever explaining who these people are, their relationships are to each other.
I had the benefit and admittedly I was home when I watched it, and I had the benefit of going and doing a little search to understand exactly what the context was, because...
Right.
I wasn't sure what I missed because I really didn't have enough background information to know what I was going to. And for me, it was like it went on for an awful long time before I knew what I was watching.
Yeah, and there's definitely the case where it takes maybe half the movie before you understand really how these people relate to each other and what their positions are. And even after the movie, I think there's a lot of stuff maybe that you would have to go
online. I did more research.
Do the research. And that's probably smart, because I definitely felt like at the end of the movie – There's like a whole turf war element to it with these two rivals, and
right.
Never did I understand what that was about.
I never understood that either. And that amazing, I mean, from a strictly creative perspective and an artistic perspective, the movie is shot beautifully. I mean,
yes.
It's very sort of amateurish in some ways, but it could appear amateurish, but the skill involved is extraordinary, and some of the shots are amazing. But when they're in that quarry place and all those trucks are moving around and that huge space, I can't even imagine where that was. So there were but I still don't know what that meant. I don't have any idea what that ever was about.
Right. It's all like it's something to do with dumping like waste or something like that.
Right, but where did that nobody ever I kept reading waste. It's subtitles. So
right,
I never saw I had no idea.
Yeah,
so
there's drums of stuff. But yeah, it's definitely, I think, if you go into it not knowing what it's about, then, and there's at the very end of the movie, there's some sort of title cards that tell you a little bit about the extent of the organization and their far reaching.
Yeah.
But you don't get that at the beginning. So I think maybe doing some of that research or reading reviews or whatever would help. And I definitely felt as I was watching it that I wished I had a little bit more context, which I'm sure if you see it in Italy, which is where obviously it came out first,
sure,
it's a lot more. It's a lot easier to understand. It's based on a book, and the author of the book has been in hiding for years because the mafia is after him because he's
exposed
exactly. So clearly this is accurate, I would guess, in terms of what's going on. But it was a little hard to grasp onto, I think. And just character-wise, too, I think that you never quite get into the heads of these characters. That you're always a bit at a remove from them. And for a movie that's 2 hours and 15 minutes long,
I need a relationship with someone.
It can be a little tedious,
right.
The first hour. I think after that first hour, things started to pick up a little. Once you have a fuller sense of how everyone relates to each other, it's more engaging. And I did like it. I agree with what you're saying about the cinematography, and I think it was good. But it's a movie that requires a little work
It definitely was work. And I didn't – I had no idea what to expect. And when I went to watch it, I enjoyed the work, but it was definitely work. And
right.
And we've certainly seen films where you don't enjoy the work, where I don't want to work that hard.
Sure.
So we may talk about those later in this podcast, in fact. But I thought it was interesting. And I would go do some research. And sometimes you don't want to do the research because you don't want to know the story, right? Like, I don't want to spoil it or whatever.
Sure.
But you do want to do it for this because it makes it really interesting to – if I would have known then what I know now, the accountant guy who went around and everything, I mean, I would have understood that guy better. I kept waiting for him to either be somebody that he wasn't or become somebody that he didn't, or it was – there were definitely heavy, hard parts to it.
Yes, there are. But I think I agree with you that it's in general, it's worth the work if you if you are interested in this kind of thing. It's not like your typical mafia movie at all. And I would recommend it. I think I would give it 3 stars out of 5. I don't know if you want to conjure up a star rating or
I don't want to Well, I mean, I have to give it
you know, three.
I don't want to. I mean, I would 5 is tough though. I mean, so I'm even thinking I don't want to give it one. But I do want to say that I didn't find the in the garment industry part of it, I didn't think he went to another gang. I just think he went out of the mafia.
Right,
so I didn't
right.
find them to be I mean, he was trying – the guy who sort of turned his back and his loyalty on the mafia went and did this thing to make money. Like,
right.
he just couldn't live anymore
family,
because
yeah.
they just – however it is that they
right. –
anyway.
But the point is he's – you go against them in any way, even a way that seems innocuous, and it doesn't matter, and they're going to gonna get rid of you. So, but, yeah, it's very interesting stuff. So also opening this week is on a much grander scale, State of Play, the thriller with Russell Crowe and Ben Affleck and Rachel McAdams, which you did
I
not
have not
a
seen
to
yet.
See.
No, I'm sorry.
That is okay. But I did see, and also a movie that I felt sort of mixed about. I think this movie starts off very well in the first hour or so. It's almost the opposite of Gomorrah, where for the first hour I was frustrated and then it really all came together. For the first hour of this movie, I was really intrigued. It's a conspiracy thriller. Russell Crowe plays a journalist who's investigating, of course, a seemingly random crime that all turns out to be related to the corridors of power and a defense contracting company that's undergoing congressional hearings with Ben Affleck, who plays a congressman who also has a past with Russell Crowe's character, and they used to be roommates and friends. And then there's Rachel McAdams, who plays a blogger who is also on the trail of this story, and it's sort of about old media versus new media a little bit, which is, you know, nice, I think, for journalists who are reviewing it. They're all going to be very enthused.
All current,
yeah,
right.
exactly, and that it's all building up the idea of the nobility of newspapers and things like that, which I did appreciate. But it has a few too many twists and turns, I think, as the story goes on and it kind of doubles back on itself and things are revealed. And it became a little too much for me after a while, and I was ready for it all.
That's sort of exhausting.
And it is a little exhausting, and it's not overly long, but it felt a little long towards the end. And I think thematically, it thinks it's about more than it really is. Mm. You know, the whole thing with the media, and also about this defense contractor, and really it's just about people running after each other and shooting, which is cool and interesting, and it's stylishly shot.
It's in D.C., right?
Yeah, it's in Washington, D.C., and it's all about, again, you know, the Capitol, and Ben Affleck is this congressman who is trying to hold on to his reputation. And I like Ben Affleck, but he's a little stiff in this role, and the character is just the guy who spends the entire movie protesting about how morally upstanding he is, which can get a little tiresome. But despite all that, I did like it. I think especially the first half, it's very suspenseful. And if you don't expect really deep thoughts, but you just want a cool, exciting thriller, I think you would have a good time at this movie. And it's less work than Gomorrah.
Well, almost anything would be, but maybe not. You might not get as much out of it.
Right. No, and I don't think you will. I think you will learn a lot more from Gomorrah, and you may come out – again, I came out of this movie thinking I didn't learn nearly as much as the movie sort of thinks it was teaching me, or that maybe people expect to learn out of this. But I still had a good time.
Yeah. Well, it's a Hollywood thriller, right?
And it's all, I mean, exactly. There you go. It's a Hollywood thriller. It's not really more than a Hollywood thriller, but it's a good Hollywood thriller. So I think I would give that 3 stars also out of 5. Both of those – worth checking out.
Wow.
Not spectacular. See, no hate.
There's no hate
going on.
There's no hate.
You should be on some other time when we talk about some awful stuff.
Okay.
So those worth checking out, I think, in theaters this week. And then coming up on DVD on Tuesday, a couple of movies that were big Oscar bait movies at the end of the year. One of which is The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke, who did not win the Best Actor Oscar, but was heavily favored and won a ton of other awards.
He won the Golden Globe for Best Actor.
Won the Golden Globe.
It was like sort of a nod, kind of.
Absolutely, and a lot of lesser awards. And I personally would have been happy to see him win the Oscar.
Really?
I like Sean Penn, and I thought he was good in Milk. I wasn't displeased to see him win, but I really liked Mickey Rourke's performance in The Wrestler. I think he really captures the authenticity of the character who is down on his luck and just beating himself up. And it is, I think we were talking earlier before the show about the predictability of the plot. And I think there is a lot of predictability, but at the same time, I think the acting him and Marissa Tomei makes you believe in the characters enough that you're invested in what happens, even though you kind of know what's going to happen. But I know you're not a fan of this movie
you know,
as much.
I'm not a fan as much, and yeah, I almost feel like that. Well, I am the hater, I guess, a little
That's
bit right
okay.
now. But and I feel bad, not that it would ever matter, but Mickey Rourke to me wasn't acting, right? So that part, believable, yeah, probably, but in a sad and demented way, maybe. I don't know. Marissa Tomei, I thought was extraordinary, but I didn't find him to be acting. So was it believable? Absolutely, but almost kind of like cringing and disgusting at the same time. And yet it made every point that it intended to make. And we talked about even sort of the way they handled the camera and all of those things that made it seem sort of guerrilla filming almost.
Right.
Also made it that much more believable in the time and space that it was. But yeah, I didn't love it. And it was so graphic and horrible. And the other thing that was so weird about it to me, and I went into it with these different expectations, because this also goes back to what we were talking about earlier. The person who told me I would love this movie, when I actually took my phone out and began emailing this person during the movie and going, "You're kidding me right now." Because seriously, I am not in the place in my life where I can watch a dollar bill be stapled to somebody's head. So
yeah.
The huge, you know, 7-foot graphics of the of those things were sort of, so the storytelling, yeah, predictable, yeah, didn't love it.
Right. Well, I mean, I didn't love it necessarily either, and I think this is one of those movies that people just get caught up in.
Yeah, it was just so much media and so much talk
right.
about it and whatever, because
right.
the truth is that on the street, that guy looks horrible. That movie is horrible. I mean, it's like, that's gross. Everything about it's just, ew, it's so
sad. I mean, the grossness is part of the story, and I don't think you're meant to be...
yeah, it's not a love story. It's not beautiful.
Well, I mean, there's a little love story. But, I mean, during that scene where he's getting the stuff stapled to him, I think you're meant to be grossed out. You're meant to think, what horrible depths is this guy debasing himself to, you know, in order to do the thing that he loves or to just be back in the spotlight for however long. And I thought it effectively, like maybe too effectively.
Yeah, right. And well, exactly. I mean, I think they did a great job. I'm probably having exactly every emotion that they wanted someone to have. That they got me.
Right, but it didn't please you to have Mm-mm. those emotions. I don't know. I think it's worth checking out. I think if you didn't see it in theaters, and it was certainly out for a long time, I think a rental. I did like the movie. I did think the performances were good, and
I think it might be much better on a smaller screen.
I mean, maybe. So, I actually saw it on a small screen. I saw it on a screener, so maybe
yeah,
it was a different experience for me.
Oh, it was certainly a different experience. And yeah, I don't know. So I would see it, because I don't think that every movie that's made is supposed to be pleasing.
Sure,
I really don't. So I think that from that perspective, it's okay. And just for the media attention alone, I think it's worth seeing.
Yeah, I definitely think so. And then there are elements I think that are pleasing. The Marissa Tomei and Mickey Rourke have a good chemistry, and there are lots of cool 80s hair metal songs in it.
Yeah, the soundtrack is okay. I didn't find their chemistry to be anything special. No, myself.
No, I like it.
I'm the hater on
that's
that
okay.
one.
That's okay. That's good. Well, we can go on. And also out on DVD, another movie that was nominated for a bunch of Oscars, and I don't think it won any, was Frost Nixon.
Did it not win any?
It might not have. Or if it did, it was maybe just some small technical something or other. Which
loved
is fine with
that
me.
Movie.
Oh,
I loved
it.
I
can have the opposite reaction because I was thoroughly unimpressed with Frost Nixon. I thought it was fine, but to me it seemed like 90 minutes of build up for one decent 15-minute
right.
showdown.
And that was, see, to me, it was the distasteful, unpleasing feeling that I liked about that one, because I was the same way. I kept waiting for Frost to be something,
right.
and he never was.
Right.
I mean, it was just a big movie. It's exactly right. It was just a big movie about that.
Yeah.
And so I was like, really? But I'm such a history buff, so to me it was like, I can't believe that really happened. You know, so
right.
I was, so anybody who loves wrestling would love The Wrestler, because that would be so awesome to them. So that was it for me. I mean, just from a straight up historical perspective, it was like, that is an amazing thing that happened to me.
Yeah. No, it is.
He did that.
Yeah. But I think movies like that, when you think about the historical perspective and just the appeal is, wow, this crazy thing really happened. I always think, like, well, I would rather see a documentary on this. Or you can go back. I mean, unlike watching a movie about, like, the 1700s or something, you can actually see these interviews, the real interviews, if you want.
Well,
to.
I did go back and see them all.
Well, there you go.
So, you know, it pushed me to go do that.
Right, right. Which is good. And is are the interviews more fascinating than the movie is what I would wonder.
They're probably out there. I didn't spend the kind of time to actually find the real ones. But without the movie, I would have never, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was, fortunately, I'm a little too young for that. So, and you're a lot too young
right.
for
Well,
it.
But I mean, I think they're actually available on DVD, those interviews you can check
okay,
out.
But I would have never done that.
Right.
Right. So now that's a part of history that would have never been introduced to me.
That's true. That's true. And so I suppose in that sense, it's
and
valuable,
I think
but...
it was, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't hate the movie. I thought it was fairly well constructed, and Ron Howard is a good craftsman, but I always feel like his movies are kind of like Ron Howard's book report on X. You know, we had Ron Howard's book report on boxing, and this sort of felt like, you know, his little school paper on.
So it was almost a documentary.
It was almost right, but
he even said that, I think, in interviews. He was like, I wanted to be as much like it was as possible.
Right.
So.
And when a movie's like that, I always feel like, well, I'll just go watch the real thing.
Yeah.
And although I haven't, because maybe it didn't motivate me enough, but I probably would have rather. I felt the same way about, like, Good Night and Good Luck, the George Clooney movie.
Right.
I thought, this is a fascinating story. I would like to see a documentary about this.
I would like to know about this.
And so, yeah, but if there are a lot of people, you're right, who would never see a documentary. And so if this is the way to get them to learn about something, then I do think that's valuable. I don't think it's a terrible movie. And if your interest is maybe a little piqued by the historical period, then it's probably worth, again, a rental.
Absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, I would think that less people would be interested in renting that movie than The Wrestler. I think that just from a mass commercial appeal, not so many people are history buffs.
No, that's true. That's true.
And Wrestler, so even and there's no way you're going to get there on that. You know, I mean,
right.
It is going to be like, ooh, I love history now. But
well, no, but you might find this specific story interesting, and it is structured in a very crowd pleasing way. I think this movie, where
you do.
You've got the underdog that you want to root for, and the big showdown at the end. I think it's almost like a sports movie. So I think both of these movies are definitely, like, wide appeal kind of things.
Hmm.
I do.
Yeah.
They're not niche art movies, really, either of them, which is why they're nominated for Oscars, because ultimately that's what gets
there
nominated
you go.
For Oscars.
That's
so,
right.
So yeah, so good stuff this week. So
good stuff.
Rent Frost Nixon and The Wrestler, I think
absolutely.
You will be interested. And give a chance to Gamora. If you're an adventurous film goer, I think it's worthwhile. And if you just want to have some fun at the movies, there's State of Play opening this weekend. So very cool stuff.
And don't forget the 48-hour film project at Brendan Theaters. You don't have to see all 54 films. The films are, you can purchase, I mean, you can go and you'll get to see 12 of them per screening. So 7 and 9:15 on Wednesday and Thursday night next week. Amazing.
Absolutely. Definitely
very
check
fun
that stuff.
Stuff
out. Very cool. And
thank you for this opportunity, by the way. It
oh,
was
you're
really
very welcome.
Fun. We'll have
you're
to do it again.
You're very welcome. So, and with the website again, 48hourfilm.com.
48hourfilm.com. Yep.
Yeah, check that out. Cool.
Check it out.
My thanks to Angela Abshire for being here.
Thanks, Josh.
And,
my pleasure.
For Las Vegas Weekly, I'm Josh Bell.
Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right, including your movie.
Josh Bell hates everything.
Except me.